Good afternoon. Today is Friday, January the 24th, 24th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is your CADA Fire Chief, Desmond Llewellyn. How you doing, guy?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Sure. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about. Obviously, well, you just heard the weather forecast that Damien read, talking a little bit about the red flag warning that's out there. So we'll talk what that means, what concerns all fire departments in the area have regarding the next little bit of time. We'll also catch up a little bit about the fire station in Arcata and McKinleyville. Things have changed a little bit, so we'll bring everybody up to speed with that also. And we'll find out how everything else is going in the lovely burg of the Arcata Fire District, because it includes McKinleyville too. We'll talk about it when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Desmond Llewellyn from the Arcata Fire Department. But before we do our quote this afternoon, sir, it's your choice, Irma Bombeck or Mort Saul.
Oh, Mort Saul, every time.
All right, here we go. This is a comment on himself. Only in show business could a guy with a C-minus average be considered an intellectual.
There you have it.
Yeah. A little something for the Grammy Awards coming up on Sunday, huh? Oh, my, oh, my. So what is the big thing that you guys are having to deal with now in fire protection? I think what most folks probably heard the last couple of, well, a month or so, is with the ACA kicking in, that volunteer fire departments have concerns about health coverage, regardless of whether or not they're an employee. Is that the kind of stuff that you're spending a lot of time trying to figure out, left, right, up, down?
Yeah, you've always got to take a good look at all those issues that pop up. And, of course, in true governmental fashion, the Internal Revenue Service and the Department of Labor have different definitions of employee. And so that was the issue that popped up with the Affordable Care Act. And it looks like resolution will be brought about, and that will be taken care of so that volunteers can remain bona fide volunteers and not be counted as employees who then fall under the 50 or more employee rule.
Yeah, that would probably change things significantly if you got over that 50 threshold.
Yeah, it would impact communities from coast to coast. It would be pretty difficult all around.
So how long did it take for your heart to start beating back normal pace after you first heard about that one?
I kind of had the assumption that it would be taken care of in due time. So rather than overreact, I just kind of tried to sit back and let it ride.
You didn't go pitter-patter, huh?
Not immediately.
Oh, jeez. What is the big challenge now with volunteers? Is it changing, or is it still just getting bodies, getting the commitment, training them up, and the normal stuff?
Yeah, it's all of the above. And, the Arcata Fire District is a combination department. We have 22 career employees, and currently we have about 30-plus volunteers, but 15 of those are folks who just came in the door during a recent recruitment. So those personnel are absolutely brand new. The challenge we face is that the community...
You're saying dead weight? Is that what I heard?
No, I'm saying they are eager young future professionals who are ready to get to work. They come to us. Folks come to us now. It's very difficult to find the long-term or long-time community member who's going to be with us for 8 or 10 or 20 years. And, I was looking at some statistical data, and our numbers in 1960, we had about 238 calls for the Arcata Fire District. This past year, we ran 2,621. So the days of the barber and the hardware store owner being able to, you know, close up their shop and run down the street to go to the occasional call are over. We have evolved as a community, and our organization now is trying to take those really critical steps to catch up to where we need to be to serve the community fully.
So in the 50-year time frame, has the culture changed also? Because I would think
now, the American culture or the fire service culture?
I'm thinking, you know, of the businesses that were around the plaza that could have been the guys and the gals responding quick. You had the clothing store, the pharmacy, a lot of those that just are not there anymore, that used to be the backbone.
Yes.
Financially and culturally of the fire department. If they're not there, what's backfilled in their stead?
Well, now, you know, we've transitioned. When I got hired, well, let's go back to 1960 again. 1960 was the year that the fire district hired its first career personnel, and they ran one career person on a fire engine at the McKinleyville station. And then in 75, we built the fire station next to Mad River Hospital, and we did the same thing, one person there.
Now, I almost heard you say mistake.
We kept that staffing configuration of one person on an engine until 2005. And I can't even imagine the changes that occurred in our community, whether it was the community of McKinleyville, Humboldt State College and now University, or the city of Arcata. The difference between 1960 and 2005 is just absolutely stark. And yet we were operating the exact same way. And so we have now transitioned to having some more staffing, and that those personnel handle the bulk of the calls, and then we augment with volunteer firefighters who are on the engines with us as an integrated part of the crew, and they do a phenomenal job.
So when you got Altsizer and McFarlane and all those guys coming on, is that kind of the time frame when things kind of were looked at from a little bit different perspective, and perhaps it's not what it was, and it has to come up to different levels?
Absolutely, and the outlook has changed. No, the community expectations are different, and the demands are different. When you're running, you know, 7 or 8 incidents a day, as opposed to, you know, one every other day, it is really difficult. And you have communities that evolve and that expect to have on-demand police service and public works and libraries and parks. And yet we were operating with a quaint and a very culturally interesting manner, and yet maybe not one that was as modern as the community that we were in.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319. We'll be back with more from Desmond Llewellyn.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Desmond Cowan from the Arcata Fire Department, or district, I guess, is probably more accurate.
It's the
we're name, all about accuracy here, man.
The name is an issue. The name and clarity on identity is a big deal.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Versus that son of a gun that's driving the big red or yellow or green truck, right? Yeah. Before the break, you were talking a little bit about or alluding to the fact how community expectations have changed over the last period, and whether it's the last 20 mm-hmm. years or 50 years. Do you see a distinction between Arcata's expectations and McKinleyville's expectations and those other communities that you guys have in the district that may not be as densely populated?
Yeah, and McKinleyville is a unique part of our district. You know, we're geographically, we're divided and joined by the Mad River. It cuts across the district east-west, and that community, McKinleyville, is really a vibrant, robust partner as part of the district. The city of Arcata, and then we have surrounding areas with, you know, Jacoby Creek, Bayside, and the community of Manila. McKinleyville is, to a large extent, seems to be more, as you described during the break, owner-occupied. You know, our personnel, about three-quarters of all our career staff live in McKinleyville, and about half are volunteers, and that's because so many are young college students. And the college age folks do tend to have more of a presence in Arcata, and so we see more of the multifamily residential apartment buildings. And so there's definitely a different tone and a different culture and outlook between the two communities just because of the makeup.
Now, Arcata is about what, 12,000?
Oh, I believe Arcata's 15? Well over 15.
Okay.
Yeah,
and McKinleyville's about the same size?
Very close.
So it's a 50-50. Yeah. Are your calls about for service about the same, or
no,
are they different?
They're about 40-60, roughly 40% McKinleyville, 60% Arcata. And Arcata's more densely populated by, it's a smaller area, densely populated, great, much more older housing in Arcata, many more... much more nightlife in Arcata, a lot more interesting mix of folks moving through town. And so we have the challenges of the older construction and those various features that come with that kind of a more densely populated core area.
Medical over fire response?
Oh, yeah. Medicals are about 70% of what we do, 75%. And that's everything from, you know, somebody having difficulty breathing to a car accident or, you know, whatever other medical emergency they might be facing.
So it makes sense that if you had a more densely populated, your medicals might be there.
Sure, sure. And when you have, you end up, I mean, you know, frankly, when people are out after midnight, you have more issues. And so the longer a town stays open and in business, the more people are likely to find themselves in need of some assistance.
Well, McKinleyville's still more of a suburb.
It's a pretty quiet town.
Neighborhoody.
Oh, yeah, very nice.
Rather
yeah.
than the bar scene that's around the plaza, for example.
Certainly, that's a pretty obvious difference for those two towns.
So you guys just grab a hose and run if it's on the plaza?
the plaza issue is a great one to bring up, though. Our organization has had its headquarters right off the plaza since 1884, and it was in November of 2012 that we staffed that downtown station for the first time 24 hours a day with career on-duty employees.
Really? So it was a volunteer house?
It was
for
our admin
hours?
Office, yes, and our admin offices. And in that time, I ran some numbers the other day, comparing the year since we've staffed that station 24/7 to the year before, response times are down by 18%. That's the first run at the data, but that's a significant difference. Those folks who need assistance throughout the district are getting that help faster. And when you get the help faster, the outcome is better.
18% sounds like a chunky. Now, if you're looking at a five, I know Eureka and Ken's department looks at a five-minute response. Oxygen deprivation, all that kind
sure.
of good stuff.
Yeah.
Do you guys shoot for a 5-minute response also?
We are.
Or are you able to because of the volunteer components?
It's even more than the volunteer component. It's an issue of the size of our district. We have three stations that are serving a 62 square mile area and 36,000 or so residents. So one of the things we're looking at right now in our strategic plan is how do we define the metrics we want to use to be able to measure our success and how we're delivering service to the community. And it doesn't make sense that you can look at everywhere as a potential 5-minute response time, because it's just not possible. So that's what we're working on right now, is the data to say, what's the reasonable percentage of calls and the reasonable areas we can define where we should be able to provide that service, as Humboldt Bay does.
Without adding a ton more fire stations.
Yeah, not a ton more.
I would imagine if you added 3 more firehouses and you had enough staff, that would probably bring your response time down just a wee little bit.
It better.
Yeah.
It's certainly better.
Yeah, unless you guys get lost. Add in a GPS inside of every truck also.
Yeah, I think those are already built in now.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder, how long does it take a volunteer to come up to speed with just the landscape?
Oh, it's to learn like the area geography, how to get where you're going?
Yeah, and where to go where you're going.
Yeah, it takes months and months. And we bring in somebody, you know, the process of someone coming to us and wanting to become a volunteer is lengthy, and we can talk about it right after the break.
It's 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Yesterday. Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Desmond Cowan from the Arcata Fire District. Desmond, the concept of community-based fire protection, is it quaint? Is it a memory? Is it something that's fading away into Americana? And does it belong right next to Norman Rockwell paintings?
Well, I think it's evolving, and that's the challenge, is that as we talked about earlier, the demands on people in their own lives, the time demands, you know, when folks, it's you know, families have 2 jobs and they're running kids to sports and schools. We've got volunteers who coach baseball, who, you know, work, you know, pretty intense jobs and still try to, you know, keep up with the responsibilities and the commitment of helping us out. So it has changed. It's more difficult for people to volunteer now. It's more demanding. And as communities evolve, that fire service has to evolve with them. And part of that evolution is having the career staff immediately available to get you the service that you want. Most people expect that service.
So as you're looking at what the community expectations are, whether it's response time, safety, saving buildings, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you look at the firehouse, you know, the one out by the hospital. Okay. Is it the prettiest? Probably not. Is it functional? All except for the big truck. Okay. But more than serviceable, certainly.
Yes.
Okay. You got the McKinleyville station. Yeah, okay. That kind of works for what we got right now. And then you got the flagship. That probably is the one that most folks are familiar with, looking at it as almost a historical building.
Oh, yeah.
But way not functional.
Well, comfortable.
Yeah. So how do you look at that building, knowing there are certain rigs you have in your supply you can't access because they can't make the turn?
Yeah.
Can't get into the station. And if they get in the station, they can't get out of the station.
Yeah, well, it's a function of, and this is one of the things that was identified in our strategic planning process. And that is, you know, we had a need for a strategic plan, and we ran and went to or contacted Greenway Partners in Arcata, and they've been a phenomenal assistance to us to work on a whole variety of projects we had. And one of the things we identified in our plan that we're working on is that notion of where should our facilities really be? And you have to make those decisions based on the needs of the community and the data. And when you look at the location of your facilities or potential facilities, and then overlay that with where the calls are occurring, where they're going to occur in the future potentially, where your hazards are, your most at-risk type of construction, the population densities. We did that through Greenway, looked at all those things, and we brought 10 internal stakeholders together from our organization, two district directors, volunteer representatives, administrative chief officers, and union rep. And we looked at all this data, and everybody came to the same conclusion. The numbers speak for themselves, and we needed to move away from the notion of building one big station in the Sunset area and modernize and expand the Arcata station and the McKinleyville fire station. It came down to simply a matter of coverage and cost. The coverage is provided to the community by using those sites. It's attainable cost-wise. And as you look, as you mentioned, the truck out at Mad River, that central station there at Mad River houses our specialty equipment. If we were to buy another truck, if I was being asked to look for another ladder truck, I wouldn't buy a 50-foot aerial platform. I'd be looking at a short wheelbase truck that could operate out of the Arcata station or the McKinleyville station. So it's again, that's a different outlook that the fire service is starting to come to.
So as you look at the various apparatus that you have choices on, I would think that each station would have a different profile because the communities that each station serves are unique. You know, it's not a matter of a hook and ladder and every times three, because you're not going to be able to do it, and you may not even have the need for that.
Sure.
So with the purchasing that you look to do, is that the kind of stuff that is brought into consideration, or do you look at the age of the current apparatus and look to replace what you have that's aging?
Well, I think it's both of those. And as we look at our communities, you know, we have to address all possibilities. And as we mentioned earlier, that Mad River that joins us together, that cuts right through the center of our district, also forms a moat in the event of a tsunami, an earthquake, a major flood, we may not be able to get to the north. So that McKinleyville station really does have to be self-sufficient. And so it has two engines and a water tender there, and in the future it could have two engines and a short wheelbase straight ladder type of aerial device to serve that community and the communities to the south. But in that event where that river becomes the barricade, you know, McKinleyville can be taken care of and sustained.
Oh, that kind of thing never happens around here, does it?
Yeah.
Does the current budget allow you to get to that point? Is that a 5-year horizon, a 10-year horizon?
For
McKinleyville to be self-sustaining, have all the independent power backups and all the whiz-bang that you need, as well as the staffing?
Well, the staffing is always the big thing. And McKinleyville Station right now is really well set up as it is right now. We have, you know, backup generators. We purchase supplies so that in a major disaster, we can keep our personnel on staff. They can bring their families if they have to, because, you know, the workforce has to know that their family's taken care of. And so if we can bring the family into the station, feed them, house them, take care of them there while our personnel are out helping the rest of the community, that's a huge comfort to them, and that's always critically important. But the big deal for any organization is to continue to evolve in the realm of personnel. And as we look to our future, you know, we're going to have to take that next step. Humboldt Bay, whether it was the city of Eureka or Humboldt Fire District, on this side of the bay, many years ago, decades ago, made the commitment that three on an engine was the minimum they were going to accept. Now we've moved, we're pretty darn happy to have moved from one to two, and to go from two station staff to three. It's a huge stride for us and a very big benefit for the community, but the next evolutionary step needs to be to get to three on an engine. We certainly can't sit for another 30 years and rest on our laurels. We need to, we're not just evolving, we're catching up to a community that moved on. And we have to get those personnel in place.
KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We'll be back with more from Desmond Cowan.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Desmond Cowan from Arcata, the fire department. Red flag warning. Interesting concept. I think if we would have said it 2 weeks ago, a vast majority of folks would have said it had something nautical as a theme. Yeah. Obviously, it's not. What are you guys doing differently? How are you anticipating this warning period that we're in? Have you had any responses that you've had to deal with so far?
Well, everybody knows that it's been just ridiculously dry, and the weather's, the patterns are just unusual to say the least. Our morning started, I started at 3 o'clock this morning, getting called out to go assist Cal Fire up on top of Fickle Hill, 7 miles up Fickle Hill with the vegetation fire. We sent our water tender, three of our personnel, and I went up there with them. This morning at my house in Arcata, at 6:30 in the morning, it's 65 degrees and 26% humidity. I mean, that is just crazy. If the weather was this nice in the summer, we'd all be thrilled. So it makes no sense. But we are looking at keeping our personnel, you know, up to speed on all the wildland fire training, making sure the equipment's ready to go as it always is, and then being ready to assist Cal Fire or our neighboring jurisdictions if they have any kind of structure fire that gets to the wildland or any need.
Vegetation fire at 3 in the morning. I didn't hear the thunder and lightning last night.
Yeah, a tree fell down. This was a tree.
Oh, really? Did it take down a power line
in somebody's front yard, and then the fire was slowly burning through the brush towards the house.
That's got to be interesting. So just a dead tree.
Yeah, just for whatever reason, about a 12-inch diameter tree broke off well above ground and took out lines.
Whoa.
Yeah. Very windy up there, though, last night or this morning.
Yeah, that's why I've been hearing that there's some pretty good gusts. Just kind of the headlands, but also up high. Are you expecting the same thing this weekend?
We think the weather pattern is going to be just like this for a while. And you know, we're already talking to our personnel about how we prepare if this doesn't get any better. What do we do this summer? That was the conversation we had, you know, right before the noontime hour, that we were talking about the ways we're going to deal with staffing this coming summer and assisting Cal Fire, assisting our neighbors if they need help.
Quickly, professionally.
And there you go.
Yeah,
exactly.
And with a smile on your face, right? That stuff's got to be interesting, and hopefully there's some historical stuff you guys can fall back on a little bit to anticipate and to hedge a little bit, so it's not totally first time.
No, and it's certainly different for us, but we have a lot of personnel who have either been employees of Cal Fire, I was, or personnel who have worked from Arcata Fire and then gone and on vegetation fires and worked very closely with Cal Fire or the Forest Service on incidents all over the state.
Well, cross our fingers for you. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you very much.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Desmond Cowan. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs on the other side. See you tomorrow morning.